Sure.
Okay. So, Joe Kirchhoffer, Avalon Bay. Kirsten, my partner here, Bridge, is, we're going to tag team this one with you.
Get
the other slides, but hopefully we'll follow along. So we don't have a fabulous amount of new news on City College, but we want to just provide an update and let you guys know that we are working closely with them. Those of you that have been following us will know that last year the city sent a letter to the chancellor that laid out these are the ways that we want to collaborate with City College, and that our project, our development team wants to collaborate with the college. The three main sort of topic areas were coordination, construction coordination, especially around the Performing Arts Center, coordination of parking, as we've already touched on, and opportunities for housing for college college community members, whether that's faculty members, students, etc. So we have been working closely. We've been meeting regularly with Charmaine Curtis, who has been hired by the college to basically interface with us, to negotiate with us, and Charmaine has been meeting extensively with the folks who are working on the master plan for the college. So, and working on all those three topic areas, and then trying to dig into the next steps that the city's letter identified as well, getting into the details of data collection. And I know the college has been working on data collection around housing demand and parking, parking and TDM. That's CAC member Dabla mentioned a minute ago. So I'll give a quick update on the construction coordination and parking pieces, and Kirsten can talk about housing and then some next steps. So one of the things, and I think we talked about this last time, one of the sort of coordination things that we think we've sort of like landed on, and so far heads around the table seem to be nodding, is the way the street layout works, the way the street network works. I think the City College master plan is the last draft that I saw, now reflects the change to what we call North Drive, which is basically the street that goes from Frida Kahlo into the Lower Reservoir. Oh, thank you, Peter. So, as you can see right now, it's right up along Reardon, and we've talked about, you know, it might be a great idea for both on the master plan side and on our side to line it up with that northern part of Cloud Circle and have one intersection there on Frida Kahlo instead of two, and then it goes straight in across the City College Upper Reservoir, and it goes right into the streets. Like, so it's a same like four-way intersection with Lee into the Lower Reservoir site. That still, you know, BAC still fits right in there. And so that is some like sort of an example of some of the things we've been talking about. That's one that I think we brought to this meeting at some point last year and talked about as a potential point of agreement.
Would you point out where that is?
Sure, you pointer that? So, sorry we didn't bring a drone.
Right about there, that alignment in North.
Yeah, so moving that, what's now the sort of driveway into the parking lot, moving that, making it a real street, and aligning it from Cloud straight into the reservoir upper end.
Would you then abandon the Reardon Drive?
No, so Lee Avenue, show where Lee Avenue is, north-south. So Lee Avenue would still continue up, and then that Reardon exit would then exit onto Lee Avenue and be able to get out that way.
Do we have those?
Because
I don't have that in.
You know, so why don't
a draft or something?
Peter's going to talk. The next agenda item is like 30 slides of design stuff. And Peter, do you just want to make sure you point that out when you get to that sort of the site plan? Sorry about that. So that's sort of the one of the big picture things. We're kind of trying to move now into the details with City College and the details of exactly how Lee's going to get built. You know, Lee Avenue has one side into our lower reservoir development, one side onto the upper reservoir, different access points, different driveway points, how the utilities under that street work, and all those details. Trying to get into that, the other thing that the college now has a little bit more of a window of is their timing for the master plan build-out. You know, they're thinking, you know, I'm not up to the minute on their thinking, but there's, you know, potential bonds now that are, like, we're talking about dates of when the potential bonds might be. So as the college gets clearer and clearer on when that they will be taking the next steps and when they'll be, okay, we need to know by this day when we're going to go, we're going to start construction in this month or this year, we can help them plan and say, okay, well then, if that's going to happen, we need this street to be built by X, or we can't start building this street until X. And so we're trying to lay out those different eventualities too. And then for the parking, it's really kind of the same story. We've talked a few times about, you know, we're looking at various different locations for a potential public parking garage. Some of those will are on our site, as we proposed. Some of those are actually on the upper reservoir, and that the college folks we're talking to think that is a huge benefit because these public spaces are basically serving the students for most of the time where they're being used. So having them closer to campus locations was seen as beneficial. But so we're still looking at that, but now we've layered in, okay, what's the timing going to be? Okay, if the lower reservoir development starts, that's going to be under construction that takes those spaces away. Where do those people park during that time? And then if the Performing Arts Center starts, those spaces go away, where do those people park? And we both go at the same time, then what happens? And so we've been trying to work out those logistics and, you know, really solve for, okay, best case scenario, you know, the PIG needs to go and the PIG goes as fast as it can. What day do we need to deliver a parking garage? What day does that parking garage need to open so that there's no disruption to the parking availability for the college? And so we're trying to lay that out while at the same time acknowledging that the college doesn't know its timing, we don't know our timing, but kind of looking at, okay, if this happens, then that, if this happens, then that. So that is hopefully all going to be reflected in our preparing steps. So, Christian, I'll let you know. How's it?
Hey everyone, Kirsten Bissinger, Bridge Housing. Thanks for coming out tonight. I want to talk a little bit about the conversations we've been having with CCSF about two kinds of housing, faculty or educator housing, so faculty and staff of CCSF, and then also student housing. And they're a little different, but just like the rest of the city, everybody at the institution of CCSF or the college are facing the affordable housing crises that we're all facing. And it's not just in San Francisco, but actually across the state, this question of how do we make housing for teachers and educators affordable? We need those people living in our communities is really a burgeoning question or an emerging field within affordable housing. Bridge and my colleague here, Cyrus, is with me. We're working on quite a number of opportunities throughout Northern California where communities are saying, how do we keep our teachers in our community? We need teacher-specific housing. So we're really lucky that we're working through all of this with City College at this moment because we have all this great legislation happening at the state. Most of that legislation is really focused at primary schools, so something like San Francisco Unified or those types of teachers, but we're able to kind of lean on some of it and really make teacher or educator housing work on the lower reservoir. So as a reminder, Bridge with Mission Housing and Habitat for Humanity are committing to building 550 affordable units with a whole variety of income levels on the lower reservoir. And what we've been talking to the college about is, of that 550, you know, how can we be good neighbors? How can we make room for faculty and employees of City College? And we figured out that there is a legal structure that makes it work that doesn't get in the way of fair housing. We could say a certain portion of those units are available for faculty and staff at City College. So that was a big threshold that we crossed, and we were really happy to have crossed that. And then we came up with this next question of like, well, okay, so how does it work? Like, really, how does it work? How many of the 2,000 faculty and staff at City College need affordable housing? How many of them have existing housing? And it gets tricky. It's not like you can look up, okay, well, here's how much a faculty member makes, so that's what they can afford, because it's based on your whole household. It's not just the faculty's income, but everybody in their household, and their household size changes it. So there are all these sort of questions about how it might work. Do they even need housing? Like, how many of those people? And then the last question we came up with is, well, there's 2,000 faculty and staff now, but one of the biggest challenges with employee housing is not just maintaining your staff, but also attracting new staff. And City College is certainly looking to grow, and so there's certainly a need to think about that piece as well. So that's the faculty and staff housing. And then we turn to student housing, which the college is also interested in. They know that their students are facing the same affordability issues that all of San Francisco is facing. Student housing is not an unknown thing, but student housing for a two-year college is a less common thing. And so we've started talking to them about that. One of our partners, Joel Roos, who has been in front of...
I don't think that
whose ghost is here with us, who's been before you before at Pacific Union Development Company, has built student housing at San Francisco State. So he knows how to really do it, and he's come and talked to City College a lot about it. And, you know, they talked for a while about numbers and what the units would look like and would they be more like dorms or apartments. But they kind of came up with those same questions. Well, how many students really need it? How much can they afford? And, you know, like, when how does it all come together? And so City College commissioned a survey of all of their employees, all of their faculty, and all of their students to help us really craft a housing plan that would...
Architecture.
It's more engineering.
So City College has drafted this, commissioned this survey. I think almost all the faculty and staff have answered it by now, and they're kind of processing that. So we'll be able to really say, okay, of the huge population at City College, the 2,000 employees and faculty, and any new future employees and faculty, how many housing units, affordable housing units, do they really need? And that's not the only question we're going to ask. You know, we have these 550 affordable housing units, and there are many, many constituents in San Francisco that are hoping to live in Balboa Reservoir and occupy those units. So after we get this number from City College of, like, here's what we think our need might be, and here's what the affordability levels would be like, we'll then take stock and talk to our city partners and find out what other needs they want to make sure we meet and balance. Mm-hmm. And that'll help us kind of come up with that affordability plan. And so our board of supervisors, your board of supervisors, the mayor will all kind of help us really think that through as well. But we're really excited about being able to provide housing on the lower reservoir for faculty and staff. We really love the idea of kind of, I think the chancellor calls it an academic village, but I just think of it as like community cohesiveness. There's a lot of opportunity for City College to do event planning and programming and educational partnership around our community gardens and our child care center. And having the faculty and staff living on site will kind of deepen that cohesiveness and I think work really well. And from a transportation perspective, which we talked about during the public comment period, there is something really nice about having people be able to walk right to their job just right across the street. So we're really committed to this idea. And on the lower reservoir, we're hoping that some of the affordable units in the first phase are available for the faculty and staff. I think the student housing conversation is housed in the FMP, and we are providing the technical resources and any assistance and guidance that we can or that the City College needs to sort of move that piece along as they contemplate the upper reservoir within the FMP. So and then I just want to kind of talk about like all these conversations Joe and I give you an update on. We've been talking a lot about parking and how we're going to work with City College and also the housing. What we're going to do is take all of these conversations and really come up with a formal agreement between both parties that kind of explains, it'll be in what's called a Memorandum of Understanding or an MOU, and it'll really explain our commitments to each other, our agreements, and the next steps. So what is it that we're really planning to do? And from that will spring all of these sort of more specific legal documents like how the easements will move or the roads will move and things our attorneys will kind of get involved with. And we are working really closely with the chancellor and the staff over there and Charmaine, as Joe mentioned. It's really pretty complicated because the MOU really is dovetailing two giant master planning efforts. So we're doing our master planning effort, which Peter's going to talk to you about for a long time. And as Bridget alluded to, the facilities master plan is looking like it's coming to a close this summer, and this MOU will kind of bring them both together. So the exact timing, we're not really sure about, but we're kind of making sure as little changes happen in both master plans that we're aligning it up. So we will come back to the group when we have made progress on that, and we're here for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Hang in there. Hang in. We're gonna go to the board for. We're going to go to the new, this is the new regime. But fill out a card, and that's okay. Everybody start filling out a card now, and then you'll be able to jump right into it when we're done. Bridget. It's okay, Anita.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one thing about the the housing for faculty. It's kind of a very nuanced process because of a lot of our faculty have been here a long time, and they might have bought their houses when it was possible to buy houses on a faculty salary, which it is no longer. So it's not just the faculty that we're surveying now, but it's the faculty that will be here 5 years from now that we need to know about, and that's why it's a more difficult task. I know at State it's the same thing, that faculty that came here in the 2000s, none of them have houses, but faculty that were here in the 90s or the 80s, they all have houses. So it's a difficult situation, I think, but we're working on it. So it's more than just asking faculty, hey, do you need housing? So I just want to make sure everybody understood that.
Thanks for that summary. I understand things are still progressing. A lot of generalities. I guess you're not really ready to get specifics yet. But parking, of course, is the big elephant in the room. And so I'm just wondering, are they taking to your proposal of your plan on parking? Because that seems like to be the main component that they had to. They're losing a bunch of parking, and you have a plan for their parking. And then secondly, was Charmaine invited to this? Is she here?
Charmaine, I don't think
it's
here.
Okay.
So, want me to go do the mic and answer?
Yeah, sure.
So, I didn't see Charmaine here. I don't think Charmaine's here. She's been invited. I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is, a lot of it's generalities because it's complicated. We haven't figured it all yet. Some of it, I think there are some generalities because the master plan is still, there's a lot of generalities in the master plan. And, you know, especially to the extent that we're talking about things that are happening on the college side of the property line, I think college staff isn't really in a position to say, like, this is what we know we're doing, and we're certainly not in a position to say that. So I think that's a part of it. Are they taking to our ideas? I think I'd say yes. I mean, that's, you know, we've thrown a bunch of ideas out there. So there's a lot of different things we've talked about. But the concept of, gathering the data on who's using the parking today, trying to project what that usage is going to be in the future, and building to meet that. You know, I think that's, we're all aligned around that and trying to get, okay, this is what the data says, and this is how we'll meet that demand.
Anybody else? Yeah. Anyone?
If all these elements from City College are in such flux, how can, are they not being included in the environmental review process? How does that work? I mean, it could change things a lot, right?
Oh, good trick. Or did you? Hello?
There you go.
Okay. So, a good question. So for the first part, the housing part, who lives in the housing isn't going to really change the CEQA document, whether it's faculty or somebody else making that income level. It's really just, what is the impact? So that detail isn't covered in CEQA. For the parking and the transportation, that is a very important part of the CEQA document. And so what we've done in our CEQA document, and if you look at it, I don't have the ball memorized, but we have alternatives. So we say, what if the parking garage is here? What if it's here? What if it's this big, and if it's smaller, that doesn't really sort of change the environmental impact. So we've studied sort of the biggest possible garage so we can understand the biggest impact. That's kind of how CEQA works. Does that answer your question? I think so.
Robert. I just want to note that I'm really encouraged by what I'm hearing about faculty, educator, and student housing. These are extraordinary times, and I would hate to see this project proceed and miss this opportunity, because it's just going to be here this one time. So I'm glad we're really looking into it, and I know there's a lot of moving parts. However, the methodology and the questions that you're asking, I'm really encouraged by what I'm hearing about its progress.
Oh.
You mentioned that you received a lot of response from faculty and staff. I'm wondering the percentages from students. Just as someone who works in a high school, whenever we send out surveys, we don't get a lot of responses.
So I should clarify, we have been working really closely with CCSF and faculty and in administration on getting that survey together, but they actually administered the survey, and we haven't seen those results yet. So I'm hopeful that when we come back, they'll be able to share them with you. I don't think they've been shared yet. I think they're still processing them. There's a lot of, as Bridget said, it's very easy to look at the survey results, but then to understand what they mean for future. Yeah, so I don't know that answer, but you'll definitely hear that.
Okay, a few things. The CCSF master plan, I guess we'll be seeing that in June. But in the meantime, you can take a look at an article by Joe Eskenazi in this week's Mission Local, or Mission, I believe it is. And it enumerates some of the things that are in that master plan, including, you know, the PAIC, $250 million, and renewing a lot of the new buildings, tearing down old buildings, building new ones. Huge amount of expenses, as well as 172 million dollars worth of parking garage, and a parking garage about the size of the 5th and Mission parking. So that's happening before the EIR comes out as well. So I'd like to know exactly how they're arriving at that number that they need, because I think they would like to replace spot for spot every spot that's going away between the PAIC and our project. So I think that needs to be refined a little bit, because almost $250 million for a parking garage the size of the fifth Mission is to me a little excessive. I think that would be a little cheaper to manage the demand on the other side. You know, I think you can hand out a free fast pass, hell, a free bicycle to every kid on the in the group to there's a lot of things that could be done to lower that cost of transportation to the school. Also, the I guess you're a little in the dark as well about how we're going to deal with the student housing, because we're talking about a 2-year college. Even in a 4-year college, you have students moving in and out of dorm rooms or dorm style apartment rooms, and that isn't really what we've been talking about building. I mean, I would like to serve that constituency, but I'm not quite sure how we would do it and how we'd pull that off. And there was some talk earlier about building a separate housing project in the upper reservoir or elsewhere on campus. Is that still being thought about, tossed around?
Yeah, I should just clarify. On the lower reservoir, the part that Avalon and Bridge and Mission and Habitat are working on together, we aren't contemplating student housing there.
Okay.
The way Bridge works, we're not set up to do student housing. That would be a whole separate enterprise. Probably not the best move for us, but I think City College is looking at it for the upper reservoir. I don't know their FMP by heart, but I think it's really just limited to the upper reservoir and maybe other campuses where they would be owning and operating it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do we have some cards here? Yeah, we're going to call a few people. Jennifer Heggie, you're first, followed by Michael Adams, followed by Madeline Miller, followed by Jonathan Rendell.
I'm Jennifer from Sunnyside. I have a comment. I was interested in that Joe Eskenazi article because he said $250 million for the PAIC, and everything I've heard was $200 million. I mean, it's still significant.
Yes.
And then I have a question. I'm really hoping the developers can explain the easements in the northern sections of the reservoir so we understand the issues there on both reservoirs. And then I have a question that needs to be answered, and this is my third comment. Once a development company or organization controls new buildings on City College land, will City College lose certain rights to operate or keep the upper reservoir land in the future? I've heard that once the purpose of college use of land changes to non-educational use, it could be taken from the college. What planning has occurred to ensure that if there's a dramatic financial turnaround, not unlike several we've had in the last 30 years, the upper reservoir continues to be owned by City College or the people of San Francisco? In a downturn, it's possible there may not be enough student staff, who want to live in the buildings. There may not be funds to maintain them. What if the buildings are not a safe place to live, for example? Will people who are neither employees nor students be allowed to move in? And if people not associated with City College move in, does City College lose the ability to use that space to expand their educational portfolio and change over time? Is this another short-sighted city plan to provide housing to the current generation but cut off opportunity for an affordable education to a much larger population and future generations? Thank you.
Big questions. Who's next? Michael Adams.
Thank you very much. Please keep asking for surveillance. We'd like to know as well. The roadway that was quickly identified coming from the loop across the upper parking lot will run right into the Performing Arts Education Center. So are we going to have a drive-through Performing Arts Education Center? That's a ridiculous
that occurred to me too.
Concept. Secondly, let's forget about the bicycles. That's almost too funny to laugh at. This is San Francisco, 48 Hills. People with two jobs and three jobs need to move in and out of this school to their jobs, to childcare, to their second job. So the bicycle idea is, at best,
okay, never mind bicycles.
Humorous. The question on student and faculty housing should really go back to who owns the land. It's my understanding that no private developer developing housing, especially market rate housing, can designate a single use purpose for any of the housing. So I think until that legal question is answered, one needs to moderate the comments about making student faculty housing available at San Francisco State, other colleges. The college owns the land. That's how they get to designate student and faculty housing. So my suggestion is, let's go back to the beginning and donate that land to City College. And then City College and the neighborhood, where we're going to be forced to move into with our cars to park. I'm a student as well. Should have first say on how that lower parking lot is developed.
Thank you. Madeline Muller, you're next. And Jonathan, you can get ready to go afterward. Oh, we got more. Oh, after Jonathan, we've got Dr. Edward Hansen. Oh, Edward Hansen, yes. Followed by Fred Mollenheim. Followed by Monica Collins.
Thank you. I do know the Facilities Master Plan by heart because I am one of the two major editors for that document and have worked on it practically every day for the last couple of months. And this is all news to me that I'm hearing tonight, and I find that, you know, it's kind of personally weird, but it's also systematically weird that somebody like myself, who's been at the college for many, half a century, and on all these committees, I don't know half of what I'm hearing tonight. I'm glad I come, but I don't know about all these plans. They aren't in line what I've been editing on behalf of the facilities committee. We don't know anything about dormitories on our part of the reservoir. There's nothing there. There was not the two roads. We don't have anything. We never really talk about what's going on in the lower reservoir. And we certainly aren't privileged or involved with any of this information that I'm hearing tonight. I'm fascinated by what's being decided without the faculty, without the shared governance, without input, without information. It's not the right way to do things. And I think that people in this room should really make it a point to come to the Facilities Committee, which then reports to the Participatory Governance Committee, which then reports to the board, so we can be, at least informationally, on the same page. We're nowhere near that now. And I find that disturbing. And that article, by the way, everything in it is wrong.
Oh, really?
I know the cost estimates, and they're not done yet. There's all kinds of detail in that article that's simply wrong, factually wrong. And I will write an article and address all that.
Thank you. Jonathan.
Hello, this is Jonathan. I just have some questions along the same lines as Adam earlier. She mentioned that we found a way for City College to have some faculty and student housing, but without discriminating. But she didn't actually say what it was, so I just wanted a little bit more details about that and how. What is the legal way for doing that? And does that involve having the City College buy some of that land? And so and with that comes what trade-offs? What trade-offs come with that? How much is the land going to cost to City College? And on the other hand, what is the trade-off for the project? How does it impact the project and whatever funding for affordable units come to that? And I just wanted to push back a little bit on one of the other comments that this is not a good location for bicycle parking. This is actually a really pretty good location for bicycle parking for people who commute to downtown. It's not very big of a hill. I commuted downtown from here. This is, and there's a new bike path along San Jose, which is great to ride on when all the cars are backed up. I want to say that this is a good location for bicyclists. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Edward Henson.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Edward Simon Hansen. I am a member of the community. I live here, and I'm also faculty at CCSF. I realize communication is one of the most difficult things, having come to this now for years. Your Citizens Advisory Committee has had a lot of people speaking, and very little aspect of saying, this is what we heard, therefore this is what we changed. Because there seems to be, yes, we have a development plan moving forward. We're replicating that right now with CCSF. You have heard that from some previous speakers. The facilities master plan has been going through CCSF's internal process. That is one where we get widespread input. I would like to draw your attention to two bits of widespread input that I know from being at participatory governance last week when they just passed that facilities plan before it gets to the board. One is the placement of aligning up the access road to the lower level, the lower reservoir with Cloud Circle. Explicitly, the members of the community asked for changes in the plan to say that is to be developed in the future, because that has been presented at every plan to community members, and the community has said, we're not really in alignment with that movement. It seems like it takes the traffic, potential traffic for a future lower reservoir, and routes it right where our students are going to go. The other thing is the issue of trafficking along Frida Kahlo Way. Multiple people have said the number one thing we have is a problem to our community, and yet the plan seems to be we're going to take care of the traffic first and we're going to run it through the college. The other thing that is explicit in the facilities master plan, because faculty and community members asked for it, is to say that any parking structure that is contemplated under this master plan is not taking into account developments outside of the colleges, such as the lower reservoir development. So while you are hearing there's all these great partnerships going back and forth, the community is saying, no, what we don't want is we don't want to be actually having to deal with more than our challenges, because now we're being railroaded by a development coming forward that we're making adjustments for before we've got our plan together. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Fred, is it Mollenheim?
It's Mollenheim.
Mollenheim, sorry.
Good evening, everybody. I'm a lifelong learner at the college, and I live in District 8.
Into the mic.
I live in District 8. I came in a little late, so you might have mentioned already how many units of housing are projected at this point. And that being separated out into the housing project itself with the affordable units. And I believe it was described that some of those affordable units would be for faculty on the lower reservoir. And then on the upper reservoir, the projected student housing. How many units those are together? And also, how many units of how many parking spaces are projected. This is the first time I've actually seen in a long time a picture of structures on the site. There's a lot of things to fit in to, at least in the upper reservoir, into not all that much space. But what I've never seen is a 3D model of this project on the site, which would give people an idea of the density implications of the project. And I've heard numbers of people saying, I don't deal very well in 2D. I need to see things in, see things in 3D. Thank you.
Okay. And last but not least, Monica Collins. Oh, we have two more after Monica.
Hi, John. I'm like 5'2", right?
Yeah.
I'm the least. So, a little about me. I live a kilometer away. I'm taking 9 units at City College. I worked at the college for about a quarter century. I worked here since 2002 or so. My profession before City College was electrician, third generation electrician, specifically inside wireman, which is a construction electrician. So my business is building, and I'm not anti-development. That said, the city is kind of built to a fairly well. We do need actually affordable, I don't mean what it looks like on a chart, I mean what a family can afford with two incomes. That's what we need. So I read the Eskenazi article, and it says the campus is falling apart. So yeah, we need to build new buildings somewhere else while the campus is falling apart. That makes no sense. Do you know what teachers need? A real wage. You know what faculty needs? They need to make a living wage. That's actually cheaper than all of this development. And, you know, City College people have something to say about it. The voters also spoke in 2001 and 2005 in favor of the Performing Arts Center. But I agree with Ms. Hagee, and I would like to ask, without arrogance, how much would you pay for a one-bedroom apartment in a residential tower? Each of you, all of us, me too, would you pay $4,000 a month? Is this really what people want and need? And if so, are you guys going to move in? Because I ain't. Thank you.
Okay. I have one more name, Chris Hansen, and for this item. And then Ken Kreiser, you filled out a card, but you didn't write down your agenda item. I'm not sure if you want to speak at this. Are you here, Ken?
Hi. Do not believe there have been any studies to show if any single car ever drives from this side into the parking lot. So to put a light there is only serving this side, not that side. If you put a 60-foot access road cutting through the parking lot and it's got a light, people will drive like they have the light. People won't meander and try to work around students because they have the light. They're on their way to the freeway. It's a Safeway truck. It's making its drop-off. It's a UPS truck. It's making its drop-off. It's not like right over here where we have a light and everybody goes, oh, well, the student, oh, wait, there's another student. I got to watch out because I'm here for the same reason. So you have people trying to get from there to the freeway, and you're letting them cut straight through the campus. And that is just a recipe that is completely opposite to this, what is it, zero?
Vision zero.
Vision zero. That's like vision...
Zero vision.
Squared. Thank you.
I'm not quite sure I understood that. Harry Bernstein. And I still am looking for... are you Ken? Okay. Did you want to...
Ken yesterday.
Did you want to call... Did you want to speak on this item?
Yes.
Because you didn't mark it. Okay, item four.
I have two questions, but I want to welcome Simeon and Lee, just so that we get off on the right foot. I want to say that Jeremy and Erica and Matthew made it abundantly clear that they do not care one rat's eyebrow for City College. I would like to compliment the Mayor's Office of Economic and Workforce Development for their contempt, for their deceit, and their arrogance for what has gone on. I have two questions. One relates to the crossover on Ocean Avenue that goes from BART and comes over to City College. We were told months ago at this stage that that crossover bridge was going to be removed because there was no money for it. if you're interested in not having pedestrians getting into wrecks, I would suggest that the money be found for that. The other question I have, and let me tell you why I'm coming from this, why you folks are deceitful. When we originally started with this process years ago, we were told housing, there was going to be 500 units. And then Avalon Bay has come along, and now there are 1,100. Recently, at the EIR scoping meeting, we were told there was going to be 1,550 units of housing and approximately 2 parking places for every 5 units. So this whole thing is in flux. I must say that I do find anything that you folks talk about, it challenges reality.
Okay, thank you. Harry, have you spoken yet?
Harry Bernstein, part of this follows on what Ken was said. A few questions. One, in the statement from Bridge Housing tonight, quote, 550 affordable units on Lower Reservoir. So these 550 affordable units plus the remaining unaffordable units make a total of how many units altogether on the Lower Reservoir site? I need a number of just what Bridge and others anticipate. They consult one another, of course. Two, Charmaine Curtis nominally represents the college in liaison with the project. How is she expecting to hear from stakeholders besides the developers and the college master plan consultants? Shouldn't she also be meeting with, the facilities committee? And what is the source of her information in regard to the faculty and staff preferences that she should be representing regarding any housing on the reservoir site? And three, housing is not and has not been part of the college's mission statement. This seems to be in conflict with some of the plans laid out tonight about hundreds and hundreds of units. I know the Chancellor and maybe Ms. Davila have been talking about other plans on the upper reservoir, but I don't know on what basis this is being done. So this absence of a plan for or a basis for housing should apply to faculty and staff housing.
I think I'm going to close comment on this item then. Is there any response from the committee? Bridget.
This is a minor one, but I think it's also generational. In terms of faculty salaries, and I'm a member of a union, and what my union demanded and what we got at San Francisco State and what AFT demanded and what AFT got here, there's no way anybody can afford a home on that salary, and that's what the union demands. It's unfortunate that the parity is so different from maybe when you were younger. I'm not sure if you're the one who said it. Somebody said it here. But it's a very different time now for faculty, and they cannot afford a salary. They cannot afford a home based on the salary that the union is demanding. It's just not possible. So we really do need that faculty housing.
Anybody else?